Now we're holding the second line of the wide lines on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. So 10 lines from the bottom. We started talking about the criteria of a Hadas. In particular, what we said was that the plant, now again, with most of the Dalet Minim, the Torah doesn't specify them explicitly. It gives certain details about them, and the rest we know, the Kabbalah, Ish Mipiyish, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So when it comes to the Hadas, the Pasuk describes it as a Naf Eitz Ovos, which literally means the branch of a thick tree. So we explain that it means two things. A Naf Eitz means that the leaves, Anafim means, Anafim can mean branches, but here it means what branches out of the twig, meaning the leaves, that those cover the twig, the stem itself. And it also has to be Ovos, it also has to be braided, in other words, in threes. So therefore, and so we said that a Huduf would fit that criteria as well, but its leaves are sharp, so they'll lacerate your hands when you pick it up, and it's poisonous. And because of those, it can't be that the Torah intends. So therefore, by elimination, it's the Hadas. So now let's talk more about this, about the dinim of the Hadas. Tana Rabbanan, kolua k'min klia, the plant has to be braided like a braid. The demilash shellus, and it resembles a chain, meaning again that you have three leaves on each level, and that you have that the leaves on each level reach all the way until the ones on the next level. Zehu hadas. So therefore, that is a hat. So therefore, that's the plant that Hashem wants us to take as one of the dalim. Rabbi Lezben, Yaakov Omer, and Naf Eitz Ovis. Rabbi Lezben Yaakov says here's another way of understanding it. When the Pasuk says a branch of a thick tree, so the implication is Eitz Shetam, Eitz Shetam, Eitz Shetam, Eitz Shetam, Eitz Shetam, the fact that it says a Naf, and then it says Eitz, where obviously where does a branch come from, if not from a tree? The point is, it has to be a plant where the fruit of it tastes similar to the wood of it. So therefore, you must say that that is a hadas, which has like that. We're going to talk. We mentioned in the Mishnah briefly. We're going to talk about in the Gemara at greater length that the hadas grows berries on it, and those berries have a taste similar to the wood of the hadas itself. The fact is, you know, those berries in principle are edible, and we're going to talk about that in the Gemara. The fact is, they're not normally something eaten, which is why, you know, when we talk about the Dalet Minim and the characteristics of them, we say that, you know, the Esrog has a taste and a smell representing the people of Torah and Mitzvahs, and the Lulav has a taste without a smell because dates, et cetera, et cetera. The Hadas, we say, has a smell but no taste. Now, what do you mean no taste? We're saying it grows berries, but the fact is that those berries are not really something normally edible. You could eat them, but that's not their primary purpose. And we're saying over here that they taste a lot like the wood of the hadas itself. Okay. Next, Tana. We learned in a brisa. Eitz ovos kosher. So again, only if it's ovos, only if it has three, only if it's ovos, which literally means braided, is it kosher? V'sheinu ovos possible? If not, then it's possible. So what is that definition of ovos? You have to have three leaves in every kina. Now Rashi explains that actually what it means is you would have to have three leaves coming out of the same stem on the hadas. Tosfos objects to that and says that would be very, very hard to find. Even nowadays, they have a lot more hadassim and they're able to cultivate them better than they were before. And they're able to get lots of hadassim mishaloshim, which we talked about yesterday. And we're going to talk about in the Gemara about the difficulty of getting them. But even then, to have three where three leaves come out of one stem is very, very difficult to find. So Tosfos says, no, that's not what it means. It just means that you have to have three on each level. That you have, in other words, you have either each one's on a separate stem, but they all come out of the branch on the same on the same level, and that's the halacha. Rav Kahana Omer, afilu tre v'chad. Rav Kahana says it doesn't have to be three altogether. You could even have two on one level and one on a different level, higher or lower. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Acha b'rei d'rova b'chadir atre v'chad." Once Rav Kahana said that, then Rav Acha b'rei d'rova, who was one of his talmidim, was mahadir to take a hadas that has two and one that doesn't have them three together, because it came out of Rav Kahana's mouth. And he wanted to demonstrate that the halacha l'maisa is like The Rebbe used to bring that a lot of times as an example of where we see that when we have something that the Rebbeim did, even if we have to wonder how exactly they figured that out, nevertheless, even they themselves, even if Kahana himself is not saying you must take a 2 and 1, he agrees that a 3 is better. He's saying that a 2 and 1 is acceptable, but if Achabrei de Rava would actually be Mahader to follow his Rebbe. The same thing, we're Mahader to follow our Rebbeim, even if we still have to figure out where exactly they got a particular din or a particular minhag from. On the other hand, Omale Marbra and Baramema Lord of Ashi. Marbra Amema says to Rav Ashi, you should know, Abba, you should know, my father, Amemar, who had a shaita parule. He called such a thing where it has 2 on one level and 1 on a different level. He called it a hadas shaita, implying that it's possible. Now there is an explanation, and that is the halacha, that a hadas shaita is in fact possible. There are some details about it, but Amar brings that maybe in places where it's very difficult to find hadassim with 3 leaves together, maybe you can be yotzer with one that has 2 leaves on every level. Here we're saying in the Gemara we have 2, and then you have 1 higher or lower, and we're saying that's a hadass straighter, but maybe instead if you have ones where it's consistently 2, 2, 2 all the way up, maybe b'dieved that would be fine. And the Acharonim talk about the pros and cons of whether we can accept that or not. There is also the Bahag that has an explanation that a hadas shoita means not necessarily what we're talking about over here with 2 and 1 like that, but rather the Bahag explains that a hadas shoita is also where the leaves are unusually large. And for that reason also, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch or in the Noisa Kalim, a psul like that where the leaves are unusually large and therefore to be nizer in that. We learn in a brice, and noshtu roiv olav, if most of the leaves on each level fall off, and ishtaidu by miut, and all you have is a minority left, kosher, then the hadas is still kosher, although vajtehe avoise kayemis, provided that the braidedness of it, the threeness of it, is still intact. I says, I'll go for kasha. Well, then you have a contradiction. What do you mean? Amrit noshu roiv olav. So you're saying if most of the leaf, most of 3 would be 2, falls off kosher, then you're still saying it's kosher. Then you're saying you still have to have, though, the braidedness is intact. Oh, given the natri lo tray, if 2 out of 3 leaves fall off, ovis, hechemash kachasla, then how are you going to have ovis? You know, one leaf on each level is obviously not ovis. The answer is Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, Mashkachas lab Osra Mitzra. You can find it'll work with a Hadas Mitzra. Rashi gives 2 explanations. One is Mitzra, Malashin Netzar. It grows by the border of the field, and therefore it has more resources. It has more nutrients from the soil available to it because there's nothing growing nearby it. So therefore it winds up growing very luxurious. The kind of shiva b'chad kina, so you end up it grows with 7 leaves on each level instead of the normal 3. So therefore, the chinatri arba, so 4 leaves fall off, partial utlasa, then you still have 3 left. So you're right, with a normal hadas that wouldn't work, because as soon as 2 leaves fall off, then you certainly don't have ovis anymore. But here you have, where even the majority, 4 out of 7 fell off, and it's still kosher because you still have 3 left on each level. Rashi gives a second explanation, a Mitzra, which means a Hadas Mitzri, a Hadas that comes from Egypt. Either way, the point is the same thing. As the Gemara is saying, it has 7 leaves on each level, so even if 4 fall off, you still have 3. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, Shema Mina, you see from that, by the way, that this Hadas Mitzri is actually kosher for the Hadassim in the Lulav. Again, as we had a few days ago in the Gemara, nowadays we think of Hashanah as if anything, maybe as the Arovus that we use on Hashanah Rabbah, but in the Gemara's times, they use the word Hashanah to refer to the Hadassim in the Bulav. So the Hadas Mitzri, or Hadas from the edge of the field, whatever, is kosher for that purpose. The Masa Pshita, obviously, why shouldn't it be? The answer is Maud Tema, Hurva Isla Shem Levi. You would think maybe since it has a secondary name, it's not called just plain Hadas, it's called Hadas Mitzri, Loy Miskasher. Maybe it shouldn't be kosher to use. Kamash Malon, therefore, Abaya wants us to know that the Braisa is telling you it is kosher. Question is, Ve'ema Hochinami, maybe Takazai, where is the Braisa itself getting it as such an obvious fact that the Hadas Mitzri is kosher, and therefore saying that you can use it, and even if four out of seven leaves on each level fall off, maybe Taka it should be possible because it has a secondary name. The answer is, it's obvious. Because the fact is, the Torah says a braided tree, and therefore it means any kind of Hadas, as long as it fits that criteria, that it has enough leaves to be considered braided, and that the leaves cover the stem, as we said before, the Hadas fits those criteria, then it'll be kosher, and we don't care whether it has a secondary name. Tosfos wonders why B'chlal we even need that. I mean, before we were saying we would have even thought that the Hirduf is fine if it weren't for the fact that, that the leaves are pointy and the plant is poisonous, implying that, in other words, not necessarily, it's not like the Torah says in so many words, take a Hadas. So why all of a sudden now is the Gemara even entertaining the idea that if it hadn't said eitz ovos, then we would think a dafgas to be something called only Hadas and not Hadas Mitzri? Okay, Tosfos leaves the question open. Fine. Okay. By the way, there is a discussion among the poskim. We're saying in the Gemara over here that if two with a normal Hadas that has three leaves on every level, so if two leaves fall off, then we're saying it's no good. What happens if only one leaf falls off on each level? So the poskim debate that. Lamaskana, the dieved you are yotze with it. Lachtchila, of course, you should take one that has three. And lachtchila, it should be that it has three, that it has 3 by 3 along at least most of the length, which is why when you buy hadassim nowadays, you'll see it says on the packaging, hadassim shaloshim shloshet tfachim or something to that effect, that at least 3 tfachim of it is mishaloshim where the leaves are grown in threes. Above or below that, if they're above or below that, if they're not, then it's not so bad. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa, Yavshu Roiv Olav, if most of the leaves of the Hadas dry up, Vinishar Vishlosha Bade Olin Lachin, and there are left in it 3 branches, well, Bade literally means branches, but we'll talk about it in a second. There's a few different explanations of Rishonim, what's going on over here. But first, let's talk about Rashi, according to Rashi. You have left 3 branches with fresh leaves, kosher, then it's still kosher. So Rashi explains, in other words, you have 3 hadasim in the bundle. So suppose most of each hadas is dried up, and all you have left in each one of the 3 hadasim is 1 set of moist leaves, then it's kosher. Rav Chista says, though, those moist leaves, those fresh leaves, have to be at the top of each of those 3 hadasim. So that's Rashi's explanation. Then you have the Rosh gives a different explanation, that what it means is you need, within the hadas itself, you need 3 rows of 3 leaves each that are still fresh. And then even if the rest of the leaves are dry, then it doesn't matter so much. What does it mean? Roshay means, he says, in a hadas that has 3 leaves on each row, a hadas mesholosh, typically you have that of the 3 leaves, one of them is a little larger than the other two. They all start out at the same point on the same level on the main stem, but then they're different sizes, the 3 leaves. One of them typically is larger than the other two. So we're saying that one that is larger than the other two has to be the one that's fresh at least. Otherwise, we're saying the hadas is possible. So both explanations are brought in Shulchan Aruch. It also mentions over there, actually, that's an interesting point. Now we're going to say later, and that we mentioned briefly before, and we're going to mention later on in more detail, that if the Dalet Minim are only wilted, they're not completely dry, they're partially dry, then they're still kosher. So the question is, what if over here you have most of the hadas is dry, and these shloisha bade, all in lachen, however you define them, are not completely fresh, they're rather wilted. So in Shulchan Aruch brings that in order for it to save the hadas and make that the hadas should be kosher, it would have to be that they're actually fresh. If they're wilted already, then that's not strong enough to save the rest of the hadas, given that the whole rest of it is dry. And again, what we mean by dry by that itself is machlokas over Shoinim. We talked about it at the beginning of the parak. Doesn't mean dry enough that if you fold it, if you scratch it with your nail, it'll crack. Doesn't mean dry as in it's completely white, it's lost all its greenness, etc. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Niktam Roshay, another thing that makes a Hadas possible is if the top of it is chopped off. So Tony Ulava Chinina, Niktam Roshe, what happens if the top of the Hadas is chopped off, but also by tomorrow, but then a tomorrow grows on it. Rashi describes that you have sometimes a little growth that grows. Rashi describes sometimes you see it on Arava leaves. Have a little tiny greenish berry that grows over there. So sometimes the thing will grow at the top of a hadas, on the top of a hadas that is chopped off. So suppose that grew over there kosher, then it's kosher because then the top of it, then like this, the reason why it was possible in the first place is because it's not hotter, it's not beautiful when the top of it is chopped off. Now, if this tomato grows over there, then it looks beautiful again. It doesn't look chopped off. So, boy, Rav Yehuda, niktam roshe me'erev Yom Tov, also by tomorrow be Yom Tov. What happens if before Yom Tov, the top of the hadas was chopped off, and then on, so now before Yom Tov, as far as you knew, this hadas is possible. Now on Yom Tov itself, the tomorrow grew on it. Mahu, is the hadas kosher to use on Sukkos for the mitzvah? The question is, yesh dichui eitzel mitzvahs oloi. Do we say when it comes to other mitzvahs other than karbonos, do we say the concept of dichui? Now, we've learned here and there about the concept of dichui. Most recently, we learned about it in Yuma, in connection with certain dinim of the animals for the karbonos over there that were where you could have an animal that was kosher for the karbon and then became disqualified for some reason. We talked about, for example, with the Sar Lashem and Lazazel. Let's say one member of the pair dies before you did the avodah with the other one. So here the question is, does that concept apply to other mitzvahs as well? Do we say that this hadas was dochui, it was pushed off from the mitzvah when the top of it was chopped off? So now, if the tomato grew on it before Yom Tov, sure, then before Yom Tov, it was never nidcha before Yom Tov, because before Yom Tov is not the time to use it yet. But if it only grew on Yom Tov, then the question would be whether nidcha applies to other korbanos to other mitzvahs at this point. Rashi explains. Now we could further distinguish with that, and we did it when we learned in Yuma, between nirav and nidcha, between something that was suitable and then was pushed off, versus something that was dochui meikre, it was never suitable in the first place. At this point, the Gemara doesn't know of that distinction. At this point, the Gemara is just asking in general whether the concept of nidcha applies to other mitzvahs, in this case, to the hadas. So the Gemara says, "V'tifshit le'meha." Well, why does Rabbi Yirmiyah have the question? Let him be able to answer it on the basis of a Mishnah and Chulin. It says over there, talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, Kisohu Nisgala, if you covered the blood of the Chaya Uloif, and Nisgala, and then it got uncovered, let's say the dirt or the sawdust or whatever that you put on there got blown away, Potter Malachasis, then you're Potter from covering it, but because you already did the mitzvah, but Kisohu Haruach, but if the wind covered it, so the wind blew some sand onto it, Chayev Lachasis, then you're still Chayev to do Kisi Adam. This that we're saying that you have to cover it only applies if it became uncovered afterwards. So in other words, as long as it's covered, so the wind blew sand on it and covered it, then fine. As long as it's like that, you're not chayev. But if then, before you left the area, the wind blew and uncovered again, then you're chayev to cover it. If not, then you're potter from covering it. Now, in the Gemara in Cholin, we discuss the question, why should you be chayev to cover it even if the wind uncovered it? Sure, now it's uncovered, but we should say, hayov idchi idchi. Once it was pushed off, once this blood is unavailable for kisui adam because it was covered, Then the fact is, we said if it remained covered, then you would remain potter. So now, just because the wind uncovered it, why are you chayev? And Rav Papa says the answer is that there's no dichui when it comes to mitzvahs. So there's our answer. The concept of dichui only applies to korbanos. It does not apply to other mitzvahs. Therefore, as long as the blood is covered, then you don't have to do anything about it. It's nidcha. But as soon as it gets uncovered, then it becomes nira again. And then therefore you become chayev to cover it. So the same thing would apply over here. The hadas was again, there's a slight difference, because the difference is that over here, the hadas before the time of the mitzvah came was not, you can't yet talk about nira or nircha, because before Sukkot there's no mitzvah to take the hadas yet. Here it was dochri when Yom Tov came in, as opposed to over there, where there was a period of time after you shefted, where it wasn't dochri. But again, as Rashi said, right now the Gemara doesn't know of that distinction. Now the Gemara is going to bring up that distinction. And by the way, I mean, you know, the Papa lived in the generation or two after the Yirmiyah. So the Pashtus, we don't mean that the Papa is the first one to come up with this explanation. As often the case in the Gemara, we have something that a later Amora said, where the Uli Amoroyim knew this concept as well, just maybe they didn't formulate it in those words or something. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is expected to know what the answer that a Papa gave. So what's his question? The answer is, did a Papa go from the boiler? The answer is fine, but Rabbi Yirmiyah's question is within what Rabbi Papa says. So he's asking like this: Mifshet pshitalei de'ed dikri etz mitzvahs. Is it that Rabbi Papa knows for a fact, based on that story with Kisi Adam, that there is no dikri by mitzvahs, and therefore loishnal akula v'loishnal akhumra? So it wouldn't matter whether the result of that is a kula or a khumra. Over here, in our case of the hadas, if we say ein dichri yetsa mitzvahs, that would be a kula. If we say if by kisi adam, saying ein dichri yetsa mitzvahs results in a chumrah, because you're saying that he has to recover the blood. So that's the question: does Rav Papa hold of that lakula and lachumra, or do a sapuki misapule? Or maybe Rav Papa only has a suffix about it. Therefore, lachumra aminin lakula layaminin. So we only say it lachumra. We don't say it lakula. So maybe we would say that when it comes to kisi adam, we would say ein dichri yetsa mitzvahs. Therefore, you have to recover it. But when it comes to the hadas, we wouldn't necessarily say. Maybe then we would say it is dochri, and therefore you can't use it. And the answer would be take, but we don't know. We're going to revisit this point of Dichri on Amud Beis, and then we're going to draw the distinction between Dichri and the Ikre and not. But right now, we don't have a proof one way or the other. So the most is Lema Katenari. So now, should we say...
So in conclusion, is Dichri only for Korbanos, or it's not only for Korbanos? It's also for regular mitzvot.
That's what we need to figure out. We know that Lachumra, it applies to other mitzvahs as well. We see it by Kisi Adam. But does that also apply with Kula, such as by Hadas? At this point, we don't know. Again, the Gemara is going to revisit this point on Omer Beis, because we will draw further distinction between something that was Dochri to begin with versus something that was Nirev Nidche, something that was suitable for the mitzvah at the time when the mitzvah applies. Then it became unsuitable, and then it became resuitable again. We're going to talk about that on Omer Beis in connection with the berries on the Hadas. So we're not done.
Why is the Gemara switching to another topic without resolving this one first?
First of all, sometimes the Gemara does that because we didn't have a proof. But now we're not really switching to another topic. We're going to continue this one. We're going to see if we can relate this to a machlokas tanoi. So the Gemara says lema katanoi. Can we say that this point about whether there's dichri by mitzvahs is subject to a machlokas tanoi? Because we learn it now. We said in the Mishnah that if the hadas has berries on it, then if it has more berries than leaves, then it's possible. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get back to that point. We're going to start discussing that point further on the bottom of the Amud, on our Beis, about the dinim of those berries. But a braisa says of a lichtan possible. Now we said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to pick those berries on Yom Tov for reasons that we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. But what if a person was over on Yom Tov and picked the berries off the hadas? Possible, Dibir Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says that the hadas would be possible. Acham machshir, Acham would say it's kosher. Now, Svaruha, let's assume the Bnei HaYeshiva, when they brought up this Machlokas Tanoim, they thought, Dekole Amal Lulav Ein Tzarech Eger, that we might start with the assumption that both Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik and the Chachamim both agree that the lulav does not have to be bound, which is a point that we talked about before. The question of Yehuda holds that the minim do have to be bound together. The Chachamim hold they do not. Let's say then that both Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik and the Chachamim agree it does not have to be bound. And therefore, in other words, that so in other words, if we said the lulav has to be bound, then we could say a reason why this hadas might be possible if you put it in the bundle with the berries on it, and then you took off the berries, then you have a problem of tasav alemin also. Like we talked about earlier in the Masechta, for example, imagine, you know, putting posel schach on your sukkah, like schach that's still attached to the ground, and then detaching it, we said it's posel on the grounds of tasav alemin also. Are we going to say, if we say lulav tzarech eger, then we might say the same thing. You put in a hadas that had too many berries on it, which was possible. Now you're picking off the berries after it's bundled together. That would remain possible with tasav alemin also. Let's say, though, that that's not an issue. That's not a factor. Both of them agree lulav ain't tzarech eger. Therefore, there's no asiya involved. So what would be the machlokes then? V'im timtzalayma lulav tzarech eger. Or we might even continue, let's say maybe they do agree that maybe they do hold the lulav does have to be bound, but we would say, maybe we would say that we don't learn the lulav from the sukkah, whereby the sukkah it says tasav loy, and we learn from that means v'loy min alasui. Because after all, by the sukkah it says tasa, chaga sukkah is tasa l'chashuv asyamim, but by the lulav and esrog, it never says tasa. So maybe therefore we could say that they so maybe they say that lulav tzarech eger, but they would say okay, so the fine, anything where it says asiya, you can't have tasav alemin asu. That would apply to the sukkah, wouldn't apply to lulav and esrog. So if we start with that assumption, my lad baha kamifli, then wouldn't this be the machlokes? The man apostle sava yesh dichu yetsam mitzvahs. The opinion, the Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik who passes it, would say that yesh dichui eisam mitzvahs. So therefore, the hadas was possible because it had berries on it when Yom Tov came in. Now, on Yom Tov itself, you pick the berries. Tough luck, it was already nidcha. Whereas the Chachamim who say it's kosher would say there's no dichui by mitzvahs. So then it would be subject to a machlokas tanoim. Moses says loy, not necessarily. The kula alma loy amin yesh dichui etzim mitzvahs. We might say both of them agree that there is no dichui by other mitzvahs, and therefore that the hadas should be kosher though it had berries upon. But the machlokes is v'halchav melof lulav misukkah kamiflegi. We could say that they're arguing, do you in fact learn lulav from sukkah? The sukkah we know is posel tasav alemin asui. Does the same thing apply to the Dalad Minim? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik is going to say yes. The Chachamim are going to say no. Mar Sava Yafin Lulav Misukah. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik is going to learn Lulav from Sukah. Mar Sava Yafin Lulav Misukah. So we don't have to say that they're all, we could say that they both agree that there's no Dichui by Mitzvahs. The Iboy Seima, or another possibility, we started with the assumption that they both agree Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, but we don't have to assume that. If we hold that the lulav does require binding to kula amal of yafin and lulav misukah, then for sure you're going to learn lulav from sukkah, because then we have, there is an asiyah, there is a doing involved. Fine, the pasuk doesn't say in so many words, tasa or something like that, but nevertheless, the fact is, if we're going to say that it needs binding, obviously that's a maisa, and therefore we can apply tasa v'lemin asu to it, but we could say v'hocha b'lulav tzarech eged. Well, very good, then we could say that the machlokes is, does the lulav require binding? And therefore, so if we say it requires binding, then tasav alemin also applies. Therefore, if the berries are picked on Yom Tov, then it's possible because it's already made, the bundle's already been made. And if not, then not. In fact, by the way, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have also explained that Rav Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chachamim might be arguing about what if you bound the lulav on Erev Yom Tov, and then you pick the berries. Now the Braisa had started out over Velikton, that if he was over and picked the berries, meaning that he did it on Yom Tov, even though he's not supposed to, but we could equally have, we could describe it where the berries were picked on Erev Yom Tov. And still, the reason why we mentioned where it was done by Isser is that saying that even then the Chachamim still say it's kosher. But anyway, so we have a few different ways of understanding their machlokes, so we don't necessarily have to say that they're arguing about the question of dichui or not. Okay, so then in that case, we're plug the dani tanoi. So it comes out, according to that, if we learn it, that the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik and the Chachamim is about lulav tzarech eged or not, then it comes out they're having the same argument as other tanoi. The tanya we've talked about before, lulav bein ogud bein she'ena ogud kosher, the lulav is kosher whether you bind the minim together or not. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm an ogud kosher, she'ene ogud posel. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only kosher if it was bound together, not and if not, then not. So therefore, so we could say that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim against him hold like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. So my time of the Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say lulav tzarek eged? So yalef lekicha, lekicha me'agudas ezer. Because he learns it by Xeira Shava on the word lekicha from the bundle of ezer, which it says by the Korban Pesach, by the first Korban Pesach, Mitzrayim, where they had to take ezer and daub the blood on the sides of the, on the side and the top of the door. Ksiv hocha ulekach dem lechamarishin, by yamarishin, you should take the dalad minimum on the first day, uchtiv asim ulekach dem agudas ezer, you should take a bundle of ezer, so malahal an aguda, afkan aguda. So just like over there, you need a bundle, over here, you need a bundle. Therefore it's possible otherwise. But Rabban, unless the lekicha lekicha, the Chachamim do not hold that Zeta Shava because they didn't learn that Zeta Shava from their Rebbeim, and a person can't come up with a Zeta Shava on their own. Okay. The Gemara says, man,
if you use this Zeta Shava, anytime it says lekicha, you have to make it an aguda. Which other mitzvahs does it say lekicha?
I don't know that there are actually, but even if so, no, that wouldn't necessarily follow. If we made a binyan av, then yes, we would apply it to everything else. But if we make Xeira Shava, Rabbi Yehuda will have learned from his Rebbeim that there is Xeira Shava between some, it depends. With the different Sfarim on Klolei HaGemara talk about when we say that the Chachamim learned Xeira Shava from their Rebbeim, sometimes it's they learn all the details of it. For example, in this case, all the details would be it says Lakaftim by Ezov and it says Lakaftim by the Dalad Minim. And therefore, that we learn from it such and such. Sometimes they'll have learned only that there's X number of Zeta Shavas in the Torah and the Talmud, and then they have to figure out for themselves which Zeta Shavas fit in those slots. Sometimes it's that they're saying the word itself is here's the word that's used for the Zeta Shava, and we have to figure out ourselves what we're learning from that Zeta Shava, etc. So here we don't know what it is that Rabbi Yehuda learned exactly, and what the Chachamim learned exactly. But it could be that the Gzeda Shava, as Rabbi Yehuda learned it, said precisely that we learned from Ezer to Lulav and Esrog, and therefore wouldn't necessarily apply to other places where it said Lakachta. But I don't know if it says Lakachta by other things. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Man Tona Lahod Tona Rabbanon. Which Tana then is it that says the following Braisa, Lulav Mitzvah La'ogdei, the proper way of doing the mitzvah is to bind the Lulav, the Imloy Ogdei Kosher, but if you didn't bind it, then it's still Kosher. Mani, now who would that be like? If that Bryce says pointed of Yehuda, you didn't bind it. Why should it be kosher? He's learning from Xeda Shava. You have to bind it, just like you had to bind the bundle of Ezer. So there's no lachachila and b'di'evin in there. In general, when it comes to dinim d'oraisa, we don't usually say lachachila and b'di'evin. That really only applies to dinim d'rabban. Well, according to Yehuda, this is d'oraisa. Irabbanan, my mitzvah kavod. And according to the Chachamim, what mitzvah? According to them, that we don't learn the Gzeira Shava. There's no reason to say that you should bind the Dalad Minim at all. So why are we saying that's a better mitzvah to do it that way? The answer is La'olam Rabbanan. In fact, that Braisa is according to the Rabbanan. Or mitzvah, which is Zekeli Man Beu. You're right. The mitzvah is not a specific thing to the Dalad Minim, but in general, there's a mitzvah to make it's best to make a mitzvah as beautiful as possible. And one way that we make the mitzvah as beautiful as possible is by binding together the Dalad Minim. The halacha is like the Chachamim, of course. There is, in fact, a machloikas in Shulchan Aruch. What happens when we say that they don't have to be bound? Does that mean that you still have to have all four of them available to you right now? And then if you pick them up one after the other, then you're yotze. But let's say, for example, you only have right now, you only have a lulav. Later in the day, you're only going to have hadassim, etc. If you pick up right now the lulav, when you don't have the other three in your possession, can that go towards eventually that you'll fulfill the mitzvah? That there was machloikas about that. Okay. So the maskana then, so as far as binding the lulav, the proper way to do it is to bind it. Zekei divan beu. B'dieved you didn't use yotze, because the halacha is like a chachamim. As far as the question of dichui, again, we're not really done with that question yet. We're going to revisit it on Omer Beis. Next, we said the Mishnah continued. Oisha hayu anovah merubin. if there were more berries than leaves, and the definition of that, by the way, is the Alter Rebbe explains in Shulchan Aruch. What you do is at each level of the Hadas, where you have the leaves, you count the number of leaves on that level and the number of berries on that level. So in other words, in short, if you have four berries on each level where you have three leaves, then and it's like that on the majority of the it's like that on the majority of the Hadas, then it's going to be possible. So the Gemara says, Amr of Chista, Dover ze Rabbeinu HaGadol Amru, Rav Chista says the following statement, our great Rebbe said it, our great Rebbe refers to Rav, V'amokim Yeh Be'ezrei, Hashem should help him. So the Pashtus, Rav Chista said this while Rav was alive. Maybe Rav wasn't feeling well, and therefore Rav Chista felt it necessary to give him a bracha, or maybe Bechlal, you give a bracha to your Rebbe when you mention him. Anyway, so Rav said as follows, the problem when we're talking about in the Mishnah, when you have berries on the Hadas, is only when the berries are in one place. But if it was in two or three different places scattered around the Hadas, then it would be kosher. Or it says, Amalei Rava. So Rava says to the Chista, what do you mean? On the contrary, Shnaim or Shloshim Makomas, have it minumer apostle. On the contrary, if you have the berries in two or three places, then the Hadas looks spotted. Then it's even worse. At least like this, if the berries all bunched together in one place, okay, that part of the Hadas doesn't look so nice, but the rest of it looks normal. But like this, when you have it scattered all around, then it looks even worse. It looks like it's spotted all over the place. So the Gemara says, Ela itmar hochi itmar. You're right. If this statement of Rav Chista in the name of Rav was said, then this is what was said. When the Mishnah said, Oisha hoyu anova merubin me'olav, if there were more berries than leaves, possible, on that, Amr Rav Chista's Dabazer Rabbeinu Avgad Omer, Vamok Nir Be'ezre, our great Rebbe Rav said the following, and Hashem should help him, Loishonu ela anova shchoyus. This that was saying that there's a problem is only if the berries are black. So then they look very different than the rest of the Hadas, which is green, and therefore it looks unattractive, and therefore it's not a chodor, and therefore it's possible. Aval, another of a dying yeruk, but if the berries of it are green, then it's not a problem of cloud, even if you have more berries than leaves, because mine de Hadas, who were kosher, then it's like the min of the Hadas, then it resembles the Hadas itself, because the green matches the green, but kosher, and therefore the Hadas is kosher, no matter how many of them you have. So according to the second version, then, if the doesn't matter if the berries are clustered in one place or scattered all over the place, the Hadas, if they're black, then the Hadas is going to be possible. If they're green, then the Hadas is kosher. What about other colors? Amar Papa, Adumois, what if the berries are almost ripe, but not quite ripe yet? So what if the berries are red? Kishchurus Damian, then they're considered like black. And therefore, if you have more of them than the leaves, then it's going to be possible. And we see that as an example where red and black are closely connected. To Omer of Chanina, Hai Dam Shofer, Odem Hu El Shalaka. We have, for example, when it comes to Hilchas Nidah, only certain shades of blood on the Tamei woman. And there's five shades, four of them are various types of red. And then we have a fifth one is black. Now, why should black be possible? The Gemara over there, Nida, learns from a possible that blood, the definition of blood is that it's red. And Rechanin answers because the black blood is essentially red, just El Shalaka, just that it decayed or whatever, and therefore it turned black. So the same way over here, these red berries are soon going to be black, or vice versa, the black ones were red and then they just turned a deeper shade. Therefore, red and black are similar, and therefore both of them are going to pass over the Hadas. If you have too many of them. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, im yatan kosher, if you reduce the number of berries, you pick the berries until you have fewer of them on the Hadas, then we said kosher. So we have to ask, Zmatino Amos. We have to ask, when did he take off the berries? If we're talking about that he did it on Erev Yom Tov before he bound the minim together, pshita, of course it's going to be kosher. Why would we even think that it should be possible that you should even mention anything? I mean, after all, there's no tas of alayim and asui. There's no dichui because you made it kosher before Yom Tov even began. So what's the problem? So obviously it must be talking about that it's after you bound the dalet minim together, then you're saying that, then you pick the berries. Well, the problem is dochui meikro. Well, that's an example where something which was dochui to begin with. When you bound it into the bundle, it already was possible because it already had black or red berries. So now, and yet the Mishnah seems to be saying that it's fine as long as you pick most of the berries off afterwards. Well, not even most of the berries, enough of the berries that now you don't have more berries than leaves. Well then, tifshit mina, dochri mi'ikra lehavi dichri. Well then, at least you should be able to answer from that even if we say that there is dichri by mitzvahs, at least we should say that it's only dochri if it was nira v'nidcha. So the case we had on Amud Aleph was where it was nira before Yom Tov, it would have been suitable for, or no, that's the thing. We didn't specify then when was the top of the hadas broken off. We said that the case was the tamara grew on it on Yom Tov. So therefore that was chaz of nira. But we didn't specify whether the top was broken off before Yom Tov or not. So maybe at least now we can answer and say that at least if dochri meikra, that it's not a problem, and only if nira v'nidche is it a problem. The Gemara says not necessarily. The olam bosa da'agde, because we could be talking about we took off the berries after he bound it before Yom Tov, because sabar eged has mona ba'almu. It might be that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that binding the minim together is just considered. It's not the actual doing of the mitzvah yet. It's only preparing them for the mitzvah. It's only designating, I am going to use this lulav and these hadassim and so forth for my mitzvah. And that doesn't necessarily count for anything. So therefore, you can't say maybe that at that point, the hadass is already considered part of the mitzvah. So therefore, that can't necessarily be considered. So you can't necessarily talk about the question of dichri mi'ikra. When Yom Tov begins, then we can say at that point, then we can talk about Nira or Nidcha. But not before that, not when you just designated it, because unlike, let's say, with Korbanos, we're designating it verbally, gives it the Kedusha of a Korban, here we could say that binding it together doesn't yet give it the status of a Hadas for the Mitzvah. And Tosfos also brings a girsa over here that maybe, again, we're back to the question of whether lulav tzarech eged, does the lulav in fact need to, does do the minim in fact need to be bound together? The answer on the whole thing then, well, so we have one more thing about Difri. So we said, v'ein mematim b'yantav, we said, you're not allowed to pick the berries on yantav. Now, the implication is, so the question is, the Mishnah doesn't specify, what if he does? And on what Aleph, we brought a brisa, where we had the laws of the Tzaddik and the Chachamim disagreed, what happens if he picks them on Yom Tov, but the Mishnah itself didn't specify. Did I skip some lines over here? So the question is, what if you did pick them? So what would we say? Kosher. Then the implication seems to be that the hadas would be kosher, because the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to, but it doesn't specify. L'chora, then if you did pick them, then maybe the hadas becomes kosher. So now the question is the ashkur emas. Well, when did these berries turn black or red, like we said before, such that they would cause a problem in the first place? Because we said before that green berries are fine. If they already turned black before Yom Tov, dochri meikrohu, then the hadas is already dochri from the beginning. From when Yom Tov came in, it was already dochri. Now you're talking about the question of whether you pick them and it becomes kosher. Well then, tifshit mina dochri meikrohu delay habi dochri. Well then, obviously, we can show from that that if it's dochri to begin with before Yom Tov, then there's not a problem, because that would be the implication. It was dochri at the beginning of Yom Tov. It had black berries on it. Nevertheless, on Yom Tov itself, you were over and you picked the berries, and nevertheless, it becomes kosher, showing therefore that dochri meikra, that it was dochri to begin with when Yom Tov began, and it's still fine. We don't know that. Ela lav da ashkol b'Yom Tov. And, or are we talking about where the berries turn black on Yom Tov? Okay, also nira v'nidcharu. Then, there is a case where it was usable for the mitzvah at the beginning of Yom Tov. At the beginning of Yom Tov, it would have been fine because the berries are green. Then on Yom Tov itself, they ripen and turn black. And now we're saying if you pick them, the implication of the Mishnah seems to still be that it's kosher. So that would be a case of nira v'nidcha, where it was suitable, then was pushed off, and now you want to make it suitable again. So shamat mino nira v'nidcha chayze v'nira. So then that would show that at least that kind of difficulty is fine. The answer is the Gemara says lo olam de ashkum ikra. No, because we can answer that in fact the Mishnah may be talking about a case where they turn black before Yom Tov. So fine, you can answer one half of the question. When you have the hadas was unsuitable before Yom Tov already, and now you're talking about you want to make it suitable on Yom Tov, then fine, we could say we could derive from the Mishnah that such a thing would be kosher. But the case that we the case that Rabbi Yirmiyah brought up on Amud Aleph, where it was possible before Yom Tov, and then a tomorrow grew on it on Yom Tov, which was an example of, or there, now the case could be over there. The case doesn't necessarily have to be where the top was chopped off before Yom Tov. The case could be the top was chopped off on Yom Tov, and therefore it was nira. At the beginning of Yom Tov, it was suitable. Then it was nidcha. Then it was pushed off because the top was chopped off. Now on Yom Tov itself, a tomorrow grew on it. So to answer that, to say that we can demonstrate from what we're quoting from the Mishnah over here that should be fine, that we can't prove one way or the other. So therefore we can't necessarily use such a habas. We're actually going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that maybe with the hadas there is something special where it is. Where you are allowed to use it even if the top was chopped off. We're going to talk about even if a tomato didn't grow on it. We're going to take up that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Anyway, okay. Turn it up on him. You learn it up. I say, Ein mematim b'yamdav. You're not allowed to pick off the berries in order to reduce the number of them.
So what's the conclusion about dichui?
The conclusion is that there's two types of nidcha. There's nira v'nidcha and there's dochui me'ikra. There's dochui me'ikra, meaning that when the thing was designated for the mitzvah, and in this case, that means when Yom Tov came in, it was already possible, and now you want to make a kosher on Yom Tov. That we said we can demonstrate from our Mishnah that would be fine, because the Mishnah is saying that you're not allowed to pick berries on Yom Tov, implying but if you did then the hadas is kosher, and we're talking about where the berries ripen before Yom Tov. So that shows that dochui meikroi is not considered dochui when it comes to other mitzvahs. When it comes to korbanos, then we have a different question about that. As opposed to when it comes to nira v'nidcha, when it was suitable, then it became unsuitable. Now it becomes suitable again. Namely, that would be the case if the berries ripened on Yom Tov and then you pick them. So beginning of Yom Tov, it was kosher. Then it became possible. Now it becomes kosher again. Or the example we had where the top of it was chopped off, and then on Yom Tov itself, and then a tomato grew back. We can't necessarily demonstrate one way or the other from our Mishnah whether that would be kosher or not. That is left us take. And therefore, to be on the safe side, we wouldn't be able to use it.
So we only answer the question when it's...
We answer one half of the question. We answer about Dochim Ikra. We're not able, at least in all Gemara over here, we're not able to answer about nira v'nidcha. Right. Okay. Next. Okay. So again, Tonan Abonon, Ein Mematim B'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to pick off the berries on Yom Tov. Mishum Rabbi Lazar B'Rab Shimon, but they said in the name of Rabbi Lazar B'Rab Shimon that you are allowed to. So the question is, how could Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon say you're allowed to? V'alkam asakin mona b'Yom Tov, aren't you fixing a keli on Yom Tov? Meaning it was like this. The fact that the hadas is already detached from the ground. So in terms of picking, the actual picking of the leaves itself off shouldn't really be a problem. No more so, let's say you're eating grapes on Shabbos and you pick them off the stem, there's no problem with that. There would be a problem picking them off, obviously, if their stem is still attached to the ground, but not otherwise. So why should it be a problem over here? The problem over here is only because since you want to be able to use this hadas for the mitzvah, so therefore, when you can't, as long as it has these berries on it, then when you take off the berries, that amounts to that you're fixing up a keli, that you're taking something which was unsuitable, and now you're making it suitable. So how can Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, how can Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon allow that? The answer is, the case is where he's picking them in order to eat them. So he holds, like his father, Rav Shimon, who holds in Hilchos Shabbos, that when you're doing something which ends up being a malacha, but you're not intending to do the malacha, you're intending to do it for a different reason, then it's fine. So therefore, so over here, you're not intending to make the Havas kosher. That's just a side effect of what you're doing. You're picking the berries in order to eat them. Therefore, it would be fine. Question is, don't Abaya and Rava both say that Rav Shimon is going to agree with Psik Reisha V'lo Yomus when you're doing something which inevitably is going to lead to a malacha, then Rav Shimon is not going to allow it. Psik Reisha V'lo Yomus means cut off its head, it won't die, meaning suppose you have a person who wants to cut off a head of a bird to have a toy for his kid to play with. He says, well, I don't care whether the bird dies or not. The fact is, the bird is inevitably going to die from that. So therefore, that would be psikresha, and therefore it would be also. The example that we have throughout Masechta Shabbos is, for example, dragging a very heavy piece of furniture on dirt, where necessarily it's going to dig up the dirt. So even if Shimon agrees that such a thing is also, so over here, inevitably when you pick the berries, the hadas is going to be kosher. So how can Reb Shimon or Reb Elazar Reb Shimon allow it? The answer is Hoch Maeskun, the Islay Shine Achrit. The answer is, we're talking about over here, where he has a different hadas, so now it's not considered the second plea because he's not necessarily going to use this hadas. Or Tosfos explains, that's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains that actually what it becomes then, it's the malacha she'en et tzricha ligufa. It comes out then, it's a malacha that he's doing not for its primary purpose, but rather for a side reason, and therefore then we can be made on that. Then we can be make on it over here for the sake of a mitzvah, and therefore we can allow it. Tosfos elsewhere in other places, Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss different other angles on it. There's a concept that the Aruch brings called psik resha deloy nichale, where you have something which is psik resha, but you don't really want that psik resha at all. The classic case of psik resha, in the case of cutting off the bird's head, you don't mind that the bird dies. It's not your primary purpose, but you don't mind it. As opposed to, you can have a case of psik resha where you mind the result of it. And here, that might fit into that category because you don't need the hadas over here, and therefore, like, you don't mind, you don't care, you don't want that hadas to be kosher because you don't need it anyway. So there's that. Also over here. So therefore, with the interplay of all of those factors, that Dabar Sheni Miskaven and all that, then therefore Rav Elazar Rav Shimon can be allowing you to pick the berries to eat them. So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is actually, it's funny actually. There's a gusa, so you have in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam says something about picking them echad echad, one by one. And the Tesef Mishnah wonders, what's the point of picking them one by one? What's the difference whether you pick them one by one or whether you pick a whole bunch together? So he says maybe the Geusa is supposed to be Shalikton Acher, that somebody else picked them, namely to somebody else who doesn't need this Hadas for the mitzvah. So that would be another way. Like this, you're talking about Reuven himself has two, has a bunch of Hadassim. Some of them he needs for the mitzvah, some that not, and some of the ones have berries on them. So then we're saying he himself can pick the berries to eat them, and we're saying according to the laws of Reb Shimon, it would be fine. But you have another possible case would be where Shimon picks them to eat them, where then he's not doing it for Reuven's sake, he's doing it for his own sake in order to eat them. That would also be a reason to make it mutter. So maybe you should say Acher. On the other hand, in Shulchan Aruch, he brings the Rambam's Loshen, Echad Echad, and the Taz wonders about him, why on earth is he bringing a Loshen, which he himself asks in Kesef Mishnah, why you have such a Loshen. In any case, the Alter Rebbe, for example, brings it that way, that Lichton Acher, the way the Kesef Mishnah says, maybe that it should be, that if somebody else picked it, then it can be Mutter. Next, to finish off as far as that, Tananabanan, Chuto Agdev Yamtev, what happens if the binding of the Dalad Minim comes out on Yom Tov. Now on Yom Tov, you can't retie it because you don't have the tie knots on Yom Tov. Then what you can do is you can rebind it like the way you bundle a bunch of vegetables, which is you don't actually tie the two ends together. You wrap something around it and you tuck in the end. So the question is, why do you need to do it that way? Why can't you instead make a bow tie? That's not considered a knot as far as Hilchos Shabbos and Yom Tov. The answer is Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is this Braisa says according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yaman Niva, Shiramau, you see. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a bow tie is a real full-fledged knot. And just like you're not allowed to make a regular knot on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make a bow tie. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda Eged Mao Yisaboi knew if this Braisa has pointed to Rabbi Yehuda, we just said on Amar Aleph that he requires the minimum to be bound, and that means a full binding, not just where you're wrapping them, not just where you're wrapping something around and tucking them in, but rather something that's actually tied together, because again, he learned it from the Agudas Ezer. So how can this Braisa be saying that it would be fine to just tuck in the ends? That wouldn't be a kshira, that wouldn't be a binding. And the answer is, Haitana, Sovala Kabasei Bechoda, or Polagalei Bechoda. The answer is the Tana of this Braisa agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point and disagrees with him on another point. He agrees with him that a bow tie is also on Shabbos and Yaptiv, but he disagrees about the question of Lulav Tzarech Eged. He would hold that Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, and therefore that on Yom Tov itself, you don't need an actual knot. It's fine to just tuck it in. So l'chatchila, Rashi explains, according to the Chachamim, you should be using a knot when you bind it before Yom Tov, because again, we said on Aleph, Zekei Livandeu, you want to make the mitzvah beautiful, so you should use a real knot, and that's the lulav rings we use nowadays are made as a knot, but if it came unbound on Yom Tov, you can't remake the knot, then you can do like we're saying over here and just tuck it in, because technically, it doesn't really require binding to be yotz of the mitzvah anyway. In the Velt, they use those keshalach, those woven things that have holders in them for the lulav and the hadas and the arabas. Those also count as tying because they're woven together and the ends of them are tied. So therefore, so according to that, and according to our minhag, that rather we use lulav rings, then either way we're doing it the ideal way of doing the mitzvah, namely to do kshira. But if it comes out on Yom Tov, then you can't. Then you just tuck in the ends. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.
Shkoyach. When you have a kesher that's done before Shabbos, you know the way we do it. Can you tighten it on Shabbos? The kesher is done. It's around the lulav, but it's loose. Can you tighten it?
I would think that probably yes, but I don't know. I haven't looked that up.
Can you look it up?
I can try to remember to look it up, yes.
Okay, shkerech.
Shkerech, everyone.